More and more people are going on cruises. The market's seen incredible growth, up 8.8% in the UK in 2015. Many people enjoy experiencing multiple destinations on a cruise, and there's the added benefit of knowing exactly how much you're going to pay for your holiday, and it can also be cheaper than land travel. Gary Bembridge is the London-based cruise expert behind the website tipsfortravellers.com. He says he likes cruising a lot because it's much less hassle than flying.
It's kind of once you're on, you can travel around, you've unpacked once, and you just keep moving. And it's just so much easier because it's also the whole process of getting people on ships through immigration, through security, you know, it's just so much slicker.
Some potential passengers might be hesitant about booking a cruise because they either fear being stuck on a party ship, or at the other end of the scale, they're worried about being on board with lots of very old people. So can you pick a boat which matches your lifestyle and outlook?
If you take Carnival, for example, they own and run, I think it's about 12 or 14 cruise lines. And each one, you know, largely goes to the same itineraries, but they target very different price levels, very different types of consumers. If you're young, say, without kids, for example, then something like Carnival would be a great cruise line. They tend to operate more sort of out of the US. If you're young with families, there's much more options. So you've got Disney, for example, which is, you know, very popular for obvious reasons. But you have cruise lines like Norwegian Cruise Lines, Royal Caribbean, which are great for families. If you sort of, you know, 20s, 30s, they would also appeal just because they have, you know, they have huge ships with lots of stuff going on. So they have, you know, nightclubs, activity centers and all that kind of stuff.
And if you want peace and quiet,
go for one of the cruise lines that operates smaller ships. They do tend to be the more expensive ships, Seabourn, Silver Sea, Regent Seven Sea, anything from, you know, 120 to 600 passengers. Obviously, they have bars and lounges and things, but they don't have big, you know, nightclubs and big casinos and things.
How can you find cruises which are tailor-made for British tastes, whether it's entertainment or food?
Most of the cruise lines are American or Americanized. Even Holland America, which has its origins in, you know, in Holland and the Dutch, it does have quite an American spin to it because most of the passengers are American, and actually it's owned by Carnival. Cunard, P&O Cruises, they will have a very UK feel to them. So the food, the sort of the guest entertainers on board will tend to be from the UK. You know, even little things like everything would be in UK English rather than, say, American English. If you're looking for a more sort of continental European feel to it, something like MSC Cruises, which is Italian, they operate in six languages. So they're very multicultural. AIDA, German is the main language. Costa would tend to, again, be very Italian. So there are sort of cruise lines where if you wanted a very specific kind of national feel to them, you know, you can find cruise lines that have that.
So which cruise line offers the best food?
Oceania. They position themselves as the best cuisine at sea. They claim to have the highest sort of allocation per passenger for the food budget. You know, most cruise lines have, you know, great food. Cunard, you know, they have Queen's Grill, which is sort of more like first class. Princess, which would be more like business class on a plane, Britannia, which would be more economy. But even, you know, within in Britannia, which is their sort of more budget, if you like, thing, the food is pretty amazing.
So what's the best way to save money when you're booking your cruise?
You know, you could travel across the Atlantic, for example, say on the Queen Mary 2, in their biggest cabin, and it would cost you like £15,000, £20,000 per person. But you could also probably get a deal in Britannia, which would cost you for a crossing to the New York and your economy flight back for roughly the price of an economy flight to New York return. And bear in mind, you've got 7 nights out of that, you know, at sea and all the food and entertainment. But on a day-for-day, you know, side-by-side comparison versus even a land-based resort, you can normally find it's cheaper than doing land-based. The secret thing to remember on cruises is when you book a cruise is you normally pay a deposit and then 90 days before your cruise, you pay the balance. The cruise line knows exactly how many people have kind of locked in their holiday. So if there's going to be deals, it's normally in that 90-day up to the cruise period. So if you are very flexible, that's the time to hold out for cruise deals. there's certain times of the year that works better. So if you take the Caribbean, what would be in the European winter period of time, there's a huge amount of capacity in the Caribbean at that time. If you take the Mediterranean, sort of September, October time, there's lots of capacity. If you wait, you know, to 90 days before, and then you start looking for deals, that's when you probably will get your best price. It's much harder to get good deals on river cruises, because if you want to go on a river cruise, you pretty much have to decide, you know, a year to 9 months out where you want to go, what cruise line you want to go on, and you just have to sort of slightly bite the bullet. You're less likely to get good deals.
You can read Gary's excellent cruise ship advice on tipsfortravelers.com.